Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Educating for Success show. We bring families together with home business.
Hey, this is your host, Ray Terry, coming to you from the backside of nowhere in southern Tennessee. Today, my co-host is social media expert from San Antonio, Texas, Jennifer Navarrete. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm really excited about this week and can't wait to dig into our topic today.
Great. Well, you know, you and I both met basically on the internet through a Yahoo group years ago, and now we've taken it a step farther by having Facebook groups where we can have much better means of communication with each other in an effort to build community and get a chance to know each other, plus get together in real time at live conferences where we actually get a chance to meet each other and develop even better relationships. So tell us a little bit about using social media for building community.
Well, so when you look at your business, you know, you're wanting to get customers or clients, and so you do traditional marketing practices where perhaps you advertise. You're looking for word of mouth, which is the best way to get clients. And then you're trying to do some outreach in your community, right? Because that's another great way. If you're in a small town or even in a big city, your area, the people that are around you are important. And so one of the great ways to do that is to attend events or sponsor events, or support events, or become a part of events. But those are all physical things that you have to do with your time. What about supporting your community through online channels? Maybe you can't be at that fun run because you have something else going on, but could you lend them some support by maybe retweeting about what they're doing or talking about their program or sharing some of the messaging that they have on Facebook? And so you can use social media for social good even through your business.
That is awesome. So give us an example of how you have done that.
So this happened yesterday, so I have a really quick example. There is an organization here in town in San Antonio, and they have a hashtag that they use, Conservation Kids. And they're trying to get kids to learn about the history of San Antonio, that history is alive, and that there's a way that you can conserve that history, right? That it's important to not let it go. And I will say in San Antonio, we're pretty darn good at that, have a rich, long history, and we have a tendency to hold on to those things. And so that was one thing that I was scheduled to go to that event, but I had other things kind of back into it. So instead of going to support the event and physically take the tour, I supported it virtually. And I shared a post on Facebook, I commented, I retweeted and tweeted a few things. And in that way, even though I couldn't be there, I was able to support the overall effort and outreach of that event.
Oh, that is awesome. That's amazing. And the thing is that you don't even have to be at home at a computer to do that anymore, because now you can do so much of what you've done in the past on your phone or on an iPad, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our phones are, you know, a computer in your pocket. You can do anything that you need to do. It's a communication tool, and it communicates in all kinds of ways. And in my case, it's also a content production tool, because I record audio interviews and video interviews and do live streaming things with it. So it's everything that I need all in the palm of my hand. And so when you're looking at causes or things that you're passionate about or building community, think about using that little computer in your pocket, that production studio in your pocket, and sharing some of those things to your audience far and wide. If you're a business that has a passion, you know, for kids or has a passion for pets or really anything, your business can be an extension of you as the owner's passion by supporting them and being another voice and supporting them. Because it could be you as an individual doing that, but what about your business? And probably there are people within your business, client base, that also have those same types of passions or interests and are happy to get connected and support what you're doing as well.
Absolutely. And this can be used for ministry or for family connections or for business. And so I've enjoyed using it in all three of those different ways. So tell us a little bit about how you have done this in a business sense more.
Well, so when I sit down and do consulting for a business, you know, one of the pieces that we want to find out is what is their current, you know, offline outreach. You want to make sure that when you're using social media that it is an extension of what you're already doing. We don't want it to be something that's going out of left field unless, this is the little unless, is if you're trying to beta test something and you don't really want to do it in, you know, the rest of your marketing or the rest of your outreach, in that case, yes, you can use social for some beta testing to try to get a sense of whether something might work. But if you're just doing it as a day in, day out, part of your communication that's going out, whatever you're doing in print, in direct mail, in radio, in TV, or even in your place of business needs to be expressed through social. And I say that because a lot of folks think that social media is something separate than what they're already doing, and they've got to create something brand new for social that, you know, is outside of their normal scope of production or content or anything that they're doing marketing-wise. And in reality, it goes hand in hand. It ties into it. If you're running a sale, if you're a gardening center and you're running a sale on, you know, summer vegetables, you know, and then you think that online you need to be talking about something else, you should absolutely be taking pictures of your summer vegetables and posting them on Instagram. And you should be posting, you know, doing Facebook Live about, hey, right now we've got, you know, watermelon on sale, watermelon plants on sale. You know, we have tomato plants on sale, and here's how you can grow them. And so you can give little tips through Facebook Live or through Periscope on Twitter, and do fun things like that. That is kind of like you, once again, having your own production studio in your pocket. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It's just folks like that live, raw sense of being connected with your business. And so that's a fun way to kind of do it. So look at what you're already doing marketing-wise and kind of consider adding the social media piece to it. If you've got great photos that you're doing or things that events that your team is at, or clients that you want to get testimonials from, picture of them, get an audio interview, do a video if they feel like they're up for it, hopefully they are, and capture all that and share it to your audience far and wide. Or in this case, if you're doing some community events, show your community team. If your team is running a 5K for charity, tag that charity, talk about that charity, talk about why your business or you support that charity, and then take pictures at the event and do fun things that kind of lend more attention to what's already happening. And so your social presence can be used for social good.
I guess that's why people always take pictures of their food and post it when you're sitting with them in a restaurant.
Yeah, restaurants love that because people, even if they're just on the fringe of being a foodie, we're all taking pictures of our food because we're like, that looks gorgeous, and everyone needs to see this gorgeous plate of food I'm about to devour. And you know, and so that foodie fascination definitely goes far and wide. I will say food pics and food videos and food recipes are very hot. So if you're in the food industry, you definitely want to be using social.
That's awesome. Well, and also one of the things that I love about the Facebook group that we have is that we've been able to get a chance to know people in different realms of their life. They are committed to different projects. They are in different locations across the and even across the world, and they have different ministry interests, but they also have different businesses, and they've been able to share what they've been doing successfully with their specific projects. And it's just so fun to me to see somebody doing things, especially when they're making money with it, because to be able to use social media or anything that's connected to the internet whatsoever or offline, to be able to make some money with the things that you love to do and to be able to work from home and to just have your traveling TV station in your phone, like Mike Stewart was talking about yesterday. That was such an interesting, awesome interview. It's just remarkable. We live in such an amazing time right now where there are so many different things that we can do. I just think that there's no reason why anybody should say there's no way that they can make any money, because it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter if you have physical or mental handicaps anymore. There are always people that can help you do different things. And so to be able to turn your phone or your iPad or your computer into an ATM is just a marvelous thing, and it seems like social media is one of the key elements to making that happen. Am I correct?
It is. It's definitely part of it. I will say that I do, you know, I give a lot of talks, and I talk to folks, and I'm like, if you have zero presence and have zero budget and you're just starting your business and you're looking at the cost of direct mail or radio or TV, and it's just so pie in the sky concepting because it's so far away, if all you did was create, you know, a YouTube channel and post a video and a Facebook, you know, what got had Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, or, you know, really any number of pieces that you could be using out there, all of a sudden, if somebody Googles your business, bam, you know, you pop up on several different platforms, and it gives them a chance to kind of get to know your business a little bit further. And going back to what you're talking about as far as the community, it really does allow us to go deeper into the folks that are part of the Educating for Success community in the same way that by you sharing some of the ins and outs and the day, you may think, well, why doesn't, if let's go back to the gardening example, why does anybody care that I'm watering, you know, that I'm doing the quote unquote the chores of what makes this gardening facility run? You know, I've got to go and water the plants, and I've got to, you know, repot some, or we've got a new stock that just came in, or we're having a sale because this is coming out of season. You may think all that stuff is really boring and that nobody really cares about that, but you would be surprised at how interesting it is to watch some of the hands-on, dirty, grimy pieces that you're doing, because there's something about getting your hands dirty and in the earth and taking something and you know, replanting it, or watching seeds sprout, you know, into something, you know, beautiful or something that you can eat. And that is something that a lot, I think, of businesses are missing that opportunity, because we want to go deeper. We want to know more. And you might be surprised at how much we're interested in what you're doing just on the daily.
That's awesome. So tell me, what's your most favorite social media platform?
You know, I really do enjoy Twitter a whole heck of a lot, just because it was one of the early ones that I got into, and really where I built a lot of the people that I met on Twitter. I've met quite a few of them in person, and then we translated a lot of those relationships to Facebook and to other channels. But I will say Facebook is still number one as far as being able to reach and having that interaction and that flow, just because of the way that the timeline is set up and the way that the conversation can happen and the power of groups. If you have a business and you're not, you know, in a group, and you're, or you haven't created one, you might want to consider that, because the interaction in groups is very much the way that pages used to be years ago before they started throttling that down. But think about groups as another opportunity or another platform for your business. Maybe let's go back. I'm going to just stick with gardening, I guess. If anybody's a gardener and they're listening to this, they're going to love all this. But if you're looking at that, they may create a gardening group, a Facebook gardening group around their business, so that people can talk and interact within there, and you have a true community chatting and sharing and asking questions and sharing stories and posting pictures about, I got this from there, I got this, flat rose bush from there and planted it here, and now look, it's blooming and it's beautiful. And so they're able to kind of tell that story, and they're breadcrumbing their own story, but really they're breadcrumbing your story, because they got these plants from you. They got these products from you. They went to one of your workshops and learned a lot, and then went home and put that into practice. And so you're able to kind of catalog and archive this you know, movement of your business throughout all the different seasons. And it happens in little photos, and it happens in little videos, and it happens in little updates, and it happens here and there. And before you know it, you look back, and you have so much content that's been created around your business. So what could you do? Could you repurpose that content? Yeah, you absolutely could. You could do a Throwback Thursday, and maybe if somebody puts a picture of their rose bush that's blooming, you know, beautifully, and maybe originally they posted a picture of the rose bush when they bought it from you, when it was kind of just, you know, little stumpy thing, you could go, here's the Throwback Thursday for your rose bush, you know, just something fun like that. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm just trying to give, you know, everyone who's listening some ideas on how they can be creative and fun, and not only in creating their own content, but in repurposing some of the content that their audience is creating. And I don't know about you, Ray, but I love it when someone points to what I'm doing and says, this is fun, this is cool. It's kind of like a little thrill. And then that makes me point to them back again and go, look, they talked about me, or they shared my photo. And so it's just this kind of reciprocating content consumption that just goes round and round.
Absolutely. Well, and we've had this discussion several times. I was not very big on Facebook, and I was not very excited about sharing my personal life and the activities with my family with the world. And, of course, you don't have to do all that on Facebook, because there are ways to set your account so that only your friends can see what you're posting there. But I still was very conservative and very leery about putting anything out there on Facebook for the world to see. But what I discovered was the power of the Facebook groups, like you were saying, and it has really, really just changed the way that I view community completely, and I'm seeing the ability to do all those things that you're talking about. So the thing that I want to encourage people to do is, if you're not pro-Facebook, if you're one of those people that are saying, well, you know, that's a big waste of time, it's dividing the family, it's pulling people apart because everybody's in their own bedrooms and they're all on Facebook and they spend 3 or 4 hours a day talking to their friends, but they don't ever have any family interaction anymore because of the internet, I want to just encourage you to, first of all, make sure that you put limits on things that you are going to do. Set timers and schedule your life so that you've got enough time to have your social interaction with different people and different things. But don't let it become all-consuming. But here's the thing. If you're a little bit concerned about Facebook like I was, I have a Facebook page now that Jennifer actually helped me set up. But if you go to it, it's rayperry.com. You'll find, or I think it's ray.perry, I'm not sure, ray.perry at Facebook, right? You'll find that I don't put a lot of information on there. I share a lot of cat videos, which people probably hate, and anytime I find interesting things that I want to share with other people, I put those kind of things on there. But I don't put pictures of my family out there for people to see. I don't even share them with my other members of the family. I just usually text them to them. And that's just a personal preference, because I just want to maintain a private life. That's one of the things that I really encourage people to do, is if you're going to have a business on the Internet, or if it's going to have an Internet presence. I live on a farm out in the middle of nowhere in southern Tennessee, and I love the privacy that I have. I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have to put on shoes or makeup or get all dressed up or commute or any of that stuff. I just live on this farm, and this morning I was out in the garden, and I've been weeding in the flower beds, and I wash the truck and, you know, just doing farm things. And then I come into the house and I turn my computer on and I do business with people all over the world. It's amazing and it's fun, but I want to maintain that level of privacy. And you can totally do that even if you have a Facebook page. So what I've done is I've created groups, and those groups are, there's a bunch of different groups depending on the type of project that it's associated with. But those groups are a huge source of fellowship and instruction and basic communication with a lot of different people. And so I just want to stop and thank you, Jennifer, for encouraging me to put those together, because I didn't see the power of them when you were first explaining those to me. But now I see how all these things you've been talking about are able to be done very easily and quickly inside of Facebook groups like that, and to maintain a certain level of control, because with the groups you can't ask people to leave if you feel like they don't belong there. You can ban them and all that kind of thing. But it's just opened up a new level of communication, and it's also a daily thing. One other thing I want to just mention real quick too is about encouragement. Sometimes you get real upset, you know, when you're going through things. You might be able to not be able to handle things, and sometimes you can't sleep at night because of them. And so if you find yourself sleepless, you can go onto a Facebook group and read through the posts that are there. There might even be somebody there because of all the differences in time zones, but there might be somebody there that you can just go in there and talk to, and it's just encouraging to have somebody like that to chat with. Have you ever done anything crazy like that, Jennifer?
Well, in my world as a night owl, that's just considered pretty normal, so I guess I'm one of those quote-unquote crazy ones. But, yeah, I will say that if you're unsure about social media and what place it has for your business, I would pick one that you have a leaning towards. Facebook is an easy one, just how wide and varied it is and just the amount of people that are on there. But you may be someone who'd rather do Instagram because you'd rather just post photos for your business. Or you might want to just do quick videos. Or you might want to do Twitter because it's 140 characters and it's you might feel more comfortable with not having to come up with the grandiose content. But small content that can still be impactful for your business or cause. And I would say give it a try, you know, kind of baby step into it. Don't feel like you have to go gangbusters. And if you're not sure you want to put that for your business, create a personal account and start getting a sense of that community. Each of the social networks has their own personality. They have their own kind of way about them, just like as if in the real world, if you were entering a social community, each community has its own way of doing things and the way that it moves and flows. Social is the same way. You will eventually find your tribe. And if you're having any questions, you can always join the group and then, you know, ask more questions and kind of become a student and just kind of absorb what's there and find what you like. I could tell you so many different ways of using each one of these platforms, but you may only use one piece of that. And you may feel like, well, if I'm only using one piece of that, but I'm extremely satisfied with that and getting everything I need, do I have to do all those other things? And the answer is no. Social should always be something that works for you and not you working for it. And if you're working for it and not getting any kind of return, even if it's just personal satisfaction, then you might want to consider doing something else, because there are businesses that are extremely successful with limited scope use of social and or even some without. It's becoming smaller and smaller just because the number of people who are using it are there. I'll say personally for me, I probably find out about pretty much anything that's going on news-wise or even like during Christmas time, all of the sales that are going on, I'll find out about them on social before I'll find them out on the TV, before I'll find out about them on the radio, or before I pick up I don't pick up newspapers. So there is an audience that you are potentially not being able to engage with. But once again, find something that works for you. Don't feel like you have to be everywhere all the time. Make it work for you. Set up the expectation and start using it. And I'm just a big fan of groups. Find groups that are within your hobby and or your interest or your business and start, talking with the community and getting to know them. And pretty soon you'll find that you found your community and you'll be able to interact with them and learn more. And there are business opportunities on there all the time. There was a gal on another group that I'm a member of that said, hey, I'm creating these types of media kits. And I didn't know if anybody had interest of these in this group. And I thought, I actually do have an interest of that because I've been trying to get my media kit together for a long time. But you know how, like everyone else, Ray, I'm so busy working in my business that I don't have time to work on my business. So
right.
So she just put a little shout out there in a group and said, if anybody wants something like this, send me an in message and we can, talk about what that'll be for you. Well, she's going to be working on this for me next week, and within like 3 days after I submit everything to her, she'll have it done. And I'm like, that's awesome. I would never even have thought of farming out a media kit to someone else. It didn't even occur to me. I just kept thinking, I'm halfway done. I need to finish it. I just need to block some time out to do it. I'm outsourcing through a Facebook group, and you can too, or you could be that outsource for someone like me in any capacity of business.
That is an excellent point. Another thing is you can have virtual assistants that help you do a lot of different things. Because if you're a super busy business owner and you don't have a lot of time to spend doing things, you can sit down in the morning and write down a bunch of posts and then have somebody else post them for you. It's still your content. You're still going to respond back to the people that are going to write back to you. But you can have somebody else help you actually do the manual posting. It works really well with blogging because blogging is you can sit down and write something, or you can take a little bit of a little information out of a book that you've written or a report you've written or something like that and use that as a blog post. But then you have to sit down and enter it into the blog and then add some pictures and a couple other things that you have to do to it. So if you can just put all those pieces together in a file, send them to a virtual assistant, they can actually upload all that for you, and it's getting done a lot faster and more efficiently while you are doing other things. So we have learned how to use virtual assistants for a lot of different things, and even with social media, and we've really appreciated those. And speaking of what we've been teaching, because, Jennifer, you've actually taught a lot of our virtual assistants how to be social media virtual assistants. We have a conference coming up in August, the 12th through the 14th of 2016, and you are actually going to be part of our curriculum or our faculty, our expert faculty who are going to be teaching the curriculum. And you're going to be doing some social media lounges, which you've done in the past, which I think are so fascinating. Tell us a little bit about the social media lounges and also what you're going to be sharing at the conference.
One of the things I've been doing for the last few years is something that I do call the social media lounge. And I came up with that concept because I wanted to show folks just how easy it was to use the tools and that they could reach an audience far and wide. And so it started at my own personal events that I was hosting. I would have a social media lounge and interview speakers. I would interview attendees, interview co-organizers. And it developed from there to what it is now, which is where I go to conferences and trade shows and interview the speakers, the organizers, and attendees. So it's only evolved just in the way that I do it, but the actual core of it is the same. But it's become more common now. You start seeing these types of social media lounges around. And it's an opportunity for the speakers to kind of tell more of the story. I like to get them when they come off stage because they're hot and fresh and they can give their feedback on how the audience took their information, give us a summary of what that information was. And I do wind up asking some questions that, we get different kinds of responses that folks maybe normally wouldn't have gotten up on stage. And then I like interviewing the attendees because they're – they are absorbing that content and really trying to from them, you know, what is it about this conference that is impacting you? What's the number one takeaway that you have? What advice do you have for someone who didn't come to the conference, you know, that for next year? And then as far as organizers go, I always like to get that piece. So for me, it's about telling more than the one-dimensional or the two-dimensional story. It's about giving that 360 of an event. So it's not just what you see up on stage. It's not just you sitting in the audience. It's not just the organizers in the back of the room. We're able to kind of pull all of that together in a conversation. And the interviews last anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, and they're conversational in manner. A lot of times folks get nervous. They say, well, what are you going to ask me? I'm like, how long is this going to last? What are you going to ask me? And it's like, well, I'm just going to ask you about your business, or I'm going to ask you about your talk. And how long is it going to last? Well, that's up to you, because it depends on what you say. And their answers drive further questions. And it's always a lot of fun to give them the opportunity at the end of the interview to give folks the links or phone numbers or addresses of where they can go to learn more. My whole goal in a social media lounge is to, number one, give that 360 view to go a little bit deeper. And number two, to allow folks who are nowhere near the event, you know, if you're not at the event, then you're not getting all that great content, allowing them the opportunity to learn more about what they missed out on, and also to connect with those folks online or go to their website. And so it's just another way for me to be that fly on the wall of an event and really share and report out to the masses far and wide about what's happening and what makes being there so special.
That's going to be awesome. I cannot wait, because I've so enjoyed the social media lounges that you have put together for us in the past, and you've had some really great interviews with some of our excellent speakers and our attendees too. And so I'm excited about seeing you again and having everyone join us at our next Home Business Conference, which is August 12th through 14th, 2016, in Louisville, Kentucky this year. And can't wait to see you, Jennifer Navarrete, there. And our keynote this year is also Joel Salatin. If you don't know who this man of God is, go to YouTube, type in TED Talks, and type and search for Joel Salatin, S-A-L-A-T-I-N. He is an amazing speaker, very, very fun. He's going to talk about 10 ways to monetize a small farm. So if you have children who are interested in home business, if you are interested in home business, this is the only conference of its kind where you can come, bring the kids, and learn from a bunch of different experts how to make money online. And Jennifer Navarrete, our guest today, and my co-host, is one of those special guests who is going to be part of our faculty there. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about getting a chance to see you again, Jennifer, and learning some of the new things that you're going to be sharing with us there.
It's going to be a blast. You don't want to miss it. It's more about being there and really connecting and cementing those relationships. Then afterwards, we go online and we continue those relationships, but you got to be there in order to really experience the full impact of an Educating for Success event.
That's right, and that's what I love about combining the live event with the social media side, is we can continue our relationships all year long. And it's just so fun, and it's been very impactful for a lot of different lives. So it's exciting that we're going to be able to have new people come and join us. We have some of our old attendees from last year and from years past who come. And it's going to be a marvelous event in Louisville, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to educatingforsuccess.com/2016HBC. And that will give you all the information that you need about the conference that we have coming that is for families. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jennifer. It was great having you on the call again. I am so excited about our new project here, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next.
Fantastic, Ray. You all want to see you. So I'll talk to you all tomorrow, and as will Ray.
Great. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more about what we do at Educating for Success, visit us at educatingforsuccess.com.